Friends, I'm sorry to tell you that Mr. Tim Parish, although he got well on the way here, has been held up because the A14 has been closed the other side of Huntingdon because of floods. And he's trying to find a way round so that he can come and preach to us. But in the meantime, he asked us to start the service. So may we start with a word of prayer. O Lord, we desire to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. And Lord, we have to say so often, compared with what my sins deserve, how easy are my pains. But thou seest the distress we are in now, and thy dear servant also, who has a word to bring before us, and cannot come so far. Oh, may it please thee, Lord, to give us each a burden of prayer for him, and that thou wilt make a way for him, and that it may prove to be thy eternal purpose, that thou wilt come and bless souls in this house of prayer tonight. Oh, Lord, we're not worthy. It must be all from thy free grace, through the merits of thy dear Son, in whose name we ask. Amen. Our first hymn is 448, singing the first three verses. Concluding at verse 3. When Jesus undertook to rescue ruined man, the realms of bliss forsook, and to relieve us ran. He spared no pains, declined no load, resolved to buy us with his blood. Hymn 448, singing verses 1 to 3. There are two portions from the Holy Word of God. Firstly, the Gospel according to Luke and part of chapter 2, reading down to verse 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And now we turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and reading the first 23 verses. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us. Now let us try and seek him in prayer. O Lord, do grant us true humility of spirit before a holy, heart-searching God. Lord, we have nothing to bring before thee except a mountain of sin and guilt. Lord, we feel thy just judgments poured out upon us. We feel thy wrath. Lord, it does cause us to search and to seek to know. Art thou dealing with us in mercy, or is it thy eternal wrath? And oh, we do beseech thee, Lord, that thou wilt grant us grace, as we have read, grace for grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might find access into the holiest through the blood of Jesus. Oh, that we might know him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Oh, that we might obtain his ear and know that he presents our cries before the majesty of heaven, pleading his own merits, his love, his precious blood spilt for sinners, his mercy, his loving kindness towards all those that are his own. Lord, he pleads before the throne that righteousness, that perfect fulfilling of the law, which he accomplished from the day of his birth until the day of his death, and we would be found clothed with that righteousness. Oh, may the dear Holy Spirit take of these precious things, even at this season of the year, and may we know that we are his, that he came to earth to rescue ruined man and our souls in particular. Lord, we do ask that we each may make it that earnest cry before thee to know that we are in the covenant, that thou hast bound us up secure, safe from the rage of hell. The curse we never shall endure, for thou art unchangeable. And Lord, if thou wert changeable, then we must perish. O Lord, we do ask thee now, do join with us as we meet in the house of prayer. We sorrow that thy servant cannot find his way here so far. We pray that if it is thy sovereign good pleasure, that thou wilt come and bless us through his preaching this night, that thou wilt bring him here, that thou wilt draw him here, that thou art able to make a way if it is thy good pleasure. But Lord, if thou hast stopped up the way, do cause us to consider, why, Lord, why? Oh, that we might humble ourselves low before thee. Lord, show us thy way. Draw us into the way of life and peace, and keep us from wrong thoughts about thy will. It is us, our sins, our backslidings. And Lord, we pray that it might be still thy good pleasure to heal us and not to leave us to perish. So we pray for our dear friend now. Lord, bless him in his own soul. May he know that this is thy way, that thou hast a purpose in it, though we cannot see it. And do take him safely under thy divine protection. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt continue to go on and use him in thy service. The work is not his, it is thine. But oh, do make him an instrument in thy service. Now we pray that thou wilt join with us here, that the dear Holy Spirit may touch hearts, that the words that we have read may be blessed to some, that there may be in the hearts of some, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. May the dear Holy Ghost take the scales from off our eyes, that we may see in that dear babe of Bethlehem, I see my God contracted to a span for me. This is it, to know that Christ is ours and we are his, that we are blessed with eternal life in him, that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us, for thou art the faithful and unchanging God. So grant us faith. Faith, Lord, in those precious promises that are in thy holy word and the seal of the Holy Ghost, that they are meant for us. We pray for each case here, Lord, each case known unto thee. And we specially pray that everyone that has come into the house of prayer in great need, with a burden upon their spirits, a burden of the things of time, of providence, a burden of their soul's great need. Lord, thou art the great burden bearer, and wilt thou enable each one to cast their care upon thee, to seek thee in a time when thou mayest be found, that thou wilt have mercy upon them, that thou wilt go before and make crooked things straight, that thou wilt cut in pieces the bars of iron, that thou wilt make a way through the floods and through the fire, and that they may be brought safely through, leaning upon the Beloved, even the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, do make him precious to our souls. Oh, that he might be revealed as the one who has delivered our souls from eternal death, because he loved us from all eternity. And may we be brought to love him dearly in return. We pray for all our friends, those who are not here, those who are listening, that the work of the Lord may go on among us, and that thou wilt bless souls and help them through. And we specially pray for our brother deacon and his wife, detained at home, and ask that thou wilt visit them there and bless them indeed. And now, Lord, we pray for our nation in all the awful things that are coming to pass among us. Surely the wrath of God is poured out among us. And Lord, we cannot stay these things, nor can man, puny man, when thou dost work and thou dost speak. O, grant us grace to cry unto thee for thy remnant's sake, Lord. Wilt thou appear? Wilt thou stay the plague? Wilt thou stay the awful things that are taking place in the nation? And especially we pray that as they add sin to sin by bringing more vile proposals for our statute book, thou wilt stop them, Lord. Thou art able. The hearts of all men are in thy hand, and thou dost turn them whithersoever thou wilt. So we cry unto thee now. Grant us faith to believe that thou art able, if it be thy good pleasure, and if we must endure yet more of thy judgments poured out upon us. Grant us grace to humble ourselves under them and to confess before thee, Lord, our sins, our iniquities, our backslidings. We cannot keep ourselves, but we would look unto thee to do it for us. O Lord, do appear and do shine into our souls with that light divine of which we've been reading, the light that reveals what we are and the light that reveals the way of salvation. And may we be enabled to cling and cleave to Thee, Lord Jesus, as our only hope of being brought safely through, brought through life, landed safe on Canaan side. Some of us are very close to eternity and we feel it. But we each must die. It is appointed. Lord, do prepare each one of us for that great day. Some younger ones may not live long, we know not. All our times are in Thy hand, all events at Thy command. May we each have the seal of the Holy Ghost, that Thou wilt bring us safely through and not leave us to go down at the last to that place where no hope can come, a place of everlasting burnings. Lord, we fear it. We fear lest in that great day Thou wilt say, I never knew you. How terrible. We cannot even consider what it means, nor we cannot understand what a vast eternity means. And we cannot understand what eternity with Thee can mean, the bliss of it we cannot estimate. Oh, then remember us, be with us, bless Thy word amongst us, and may Thy Spirit have free course among us, and Thy word be glorified here, as sinners testify what great things Thou hast done for their souls. We fall before Thee now. Have mercy. Be with us in the remainder of this service and pardon every sin. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next hymn is number 66. Deep in the everlasting mind, the great mysterious purpose lay of choosing some from lost mankind whose sins the Lamb should bear away. Hymn number 66.
Thank you. turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 14. Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and the 14th verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In this Gospel, John clearly sets forth the divinity of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Some have said that of the four Gospels, John's should be read first to give the reader then an understanding, that deeper understanding of who it is that the other three speak of. John's account, John's Gospel, is less full of history, but more full of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins by setting forth who Jesus is. He expresses him as the Word. And the Word was made flesh. This chapter begins, in the beginning was the Word. Well, who is the Word? It is the second person of the Godhead. It is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. And the scripture here gives him this title, the Word. And really, its simple meaning is that the second person, the Son of God, was, if you like, the expressive part of the Godhead. The mind of God, the will of God, expressed in and through the Son of God. And throughout the Old Testament, we find the Word of God, the Son of God, the Angel of the Lord, this Son of God making appearances in Scripture upon this earth in a form, an angel form, and expressing the mind of God. In the beginning was the Word. And this universe was spoken into being. We're told all things were made by him. Now we must seek to understand, as far as our poor human minds can, that the Trinity, the three persons of one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or God the Holy Ghost. Three persons, one God. And John sets forth the Son of God, or he speaks of him here as the Word of God, being from everlasting. From in the beginning, he was there. Eternal. And according to that wondrous plan of salvation, it was determined, predetermined by God, that the eternal Son should take into union with his divine nature, holy human nature. It behoved him, says Paul, writing to the Hebrews, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. But in this wondrous, in this wondrous thing, the word of God speaks of it as a holy thing. This holy thing. This that was born at Bethlehem was very and real God, and yet a real man. It is a deep, deep mystery. But it's one that is a most sweet and blessed subject for our thoughts and meditations, particularly as this Friday we think particularly of the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ at Bethlehem all those many years ago. The Word was made flesh. He remained what he was, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Godhead. He remained what he was. But in that birth at Bethlehem, we see the eternal Son of God become what he wasn't before, which was a real man. He took upon him not the nature of angels, as in the Old Testament, as I said, in those appearing to some of the saints of old, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. And he remained truly God. And it is a wonderful, and it is a great mystery. Oh, but it is a most blessed subject for our meditations this Christmas time. The Word was made flesh. Now you think of those things that were done the very beginning of time. We think of the fall of Satan, his banishment, driven out of heaven. We think of creation and Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We think of sin entering the world. Eve tempted to take of that forbidden fruit. We think of Adam tempted by Eve to take of that fruit. And that, oh, that solemn, solemn entrance of sin and that curse and death brought in. We think of the banishment from the garden. Oh, and we think of those flaming swords drawn, guarding that tree of life. Oh, we think of that great fall of mankind, which has rendered all of the seed of Adam sinful creatures. Oh, that you and I, beloved friends, this evening, born under that curse, born dead in trespasses and in sins. And the Word was made flesh. Oh, in that covenant of grace, we find this dear second person of the Godhead willingly taking from his Father that gift of a people. He's not ashamed to call them brethren, sinners, born to be born into this sinful world, made under the law. Oh, and we find such a wondrous display of mercy and grace in that plan of salvation. God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Word was made flesh. That rebellious angel driven out of heaven, whose dominion really is in this world, the eternal Son of God should stoop and take upon him the form of a servant, humbled himself, make himself of no reputation, to come into this sinful world, to be born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That he would come right down. Beloved friends, what a wonderful thing if you and I are brought at the end of our days to see and to be found in the glories of heaven. If and when we, by the mercy and grace of God, behold the glories of heaven, we will never fathom the love that brought the dear Saviour of sinners into this world. That he should lay aside all of that glory and humble himself. The Word was made flesh. If he hadn't been, we would be forever lost. And it's what we deserve. We must come on that right starting point. We deserve not the least of his mercies. It is a wonder of wonders that any soul should be saved. It is a great wonder of wonders that God should choose any out of this sinful human race. And that in choosing them, that his only begotten Son should have to come and to take upon him their form. To be made like unto his brethren. The Word was made flesh. That he might come right down to sit where they sit. That he might be that true and only suitable substitute for them. The Word was made flesh. And it had been prophesied of. And the ceremonial law that was given to Moses and the children of Israel pointed to and symbolized that the coming of the dear Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus. And those ceremonial rites and rituals that the children of Israel had to attend to, the temple worship, all pointed to his coming. And all those years ago, in that little town of Bethlehem, a virgin Mary gave birth to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh. Oh, that he might be that he might be found where they are. He might come right down to where they are. that he might humble himself. Paul writes on this, doesn't he, in that letter to the Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is the greatness. But made himself of no reputation. Really, this world, isn't it? It's Satan's dominion. He has... This is where he's at work. This is where he's busy. And that the eternal Son of God should come to this sinful earth and lay aside all of those glories of heaven and humble himself and make himself of no reputation. Oh, what humility. What love. What obedience. What a great stoop he made of no reputation and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. Oh, he was made obedient, wasn't he? Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That which was prophesied, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, this is what we think of. This is what we meditate on, isn't it? This coming Friday, if the Lord will. This is where we desire our thoughts to be, isn't it? On this wonder of wonders. Oh, the angels rejoicing at his birth. But what do we find? A few shepherds. A few hearts are touched. A few receive him. And many reject him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. The Jewish nation, of whom he became part, taking upon him the seed of Abraham, the rejection of him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Word was made flesh. He took into union with his divine nature, this holy human nature. Oh, that he might live. That he might suffer. That he might be tempted. That he might endure it. That he might live a life spotless, free from sin. That he might meet every demand of the law of God. That he might fulfill it, every single part. That he might live here upon this sinful earth, but be free from sin. Live a life that his people couldn't live. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God made man, this holy thing, dwelling among us. Living upon this earth, living a life that they couldn't live, a life that was free from sin, a life, beloved friends, so different to ours. And John, if we leave the brackets for a moment, because John here is speaking of truth. He's setting forth a true statement of fact. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. This is the Lord Jesus. This is what the law demands. This is how we should live our lives, full of grace and truth. But we can't. But it is what? It is what is required. It is that and only that which is acceptable unto God. A life lived full of grace and truth. Oh, does your heart not go out after this glorious God-man? When you think of, when you measure yourself against the standard of the Word of God, when you read in the Word of God, what is expected, what is demanded? Oh, and here is one. Here is one that has lived a life acceptable unto God. Oh, and do we not see in that a wondrous hiding place? Because, beloved friends, he didn't live it for himself. He was the only begotten of the Father, free from sin. He lived it for others. Oh, he lived it on behalf of his people. He undertook this great work, this work of redemption, this work of salvation. He undertook it. There might be a refuge. There might be a hiding place for lost, ruined, guilty sinners. There might be a place by him where the Lord would show mercy and favour. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Word was made flesh, that he might make that way whereby his people may be accepted, that may be received, may be welcomed into the everlasting glories of heaven. Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, lived on this sinful earth. John, a living witness of it. John was, it's understood, at the first, a disciple of John the Baptist. It is thought that John was the one who's not named, who was standing with Andrew, and behold, Jesus, again, which is verse 35, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, one Andrew, the other, we're almost certain, was this Apostle John. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God." Well, that was an expression they would be familiar with. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God's providing. A suitable sacrifice. Something acceptable. The Lamb of God. He'd said, "Which taketh away the sin of the world." The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And, says John, this is a personal testimony. This is John's personal testimony of the things that he saw and witnessed. And we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. Now he's a faithful witness of the things that he saw. We beheld his glory. Well, I wrote down what that word means, beheld. It's past tense for the word behold. And my dictionary said, see or observe someone or something, especially of remarkable or impressive nature. We beheld. We beheld his glory. See or observe someone or something, especially of remarkable or impressive nature. It's John's impression. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten of the Father. The eternal Son of God by eternal generation. Made flesh. All that was promised. All that was prophesied. All was being fulfilled. And John witnessed it. And so did others. We beheld his glory. Oh, I wonder if there's a few here this evening. And a few listening in this evening. And is this your desire? To behold his glory? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John says we beheld his glory. Oh, that the Lord would reveal his glory to us this Christmas season. That we might go even unto Bethlehem. And behold this thing which has come to pass. Oh, this wonder of wonders, this astonishing, most blessed thing, this holy thing born in a manger, very God, very man. Oh, the hymn writer says, doesn't he? His shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him. No less almighty at his birth than on his throne supreme. Oh, to go by faith this Christmas season to that manger and there to behold the dear babe at Bethlehem, like Simeon, to take him up in your arms by faith. Oh, that we might be brought in the spirit as that dear man was. On that eighth day when he was taken to be circumcised. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen. We beheld his glory. Mine eyes, said Simeon, have seen thy salvation. Oh, is that your longing? Oh, this is, if I might use an expression, your Christmas wish. The one thing you desire, that you might see his salvation. You've seen something of your sin. You've seen that you're not right. You've seen that you're not ready. You've seen in the person of Jesus Christ, one who is, this man sitteth and eateth with sinners. This man receiveth sinners to himself, but you say, oh, that I might behold him. That for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Then took he up in his arms. Bless God. And as many As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, adopted into the family. God the Father, this glorious God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the elder brother of many, many of his brethren. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what are you this evening? Full of sin, full of broken promises, full of broken oaths. Oh, maybe you've even said to the Lord, I won't do that again, and you're back like a dog returning to its vomit. There you are, back again. Sin, sin, and more sin. But in him, beloved friends, full of grace and truth. Oh, in him, what a hiding place, what a refuge for sinners. Oh, what a ground of acceptance there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminds, doesn't he, the Ephesians of this very fact. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. But now in Christ Jesus, he goes on to say, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so we have the Word of God, made flesh, taking upon him our form, our nature, but a holy, spotless nature, free from sin, original and actual, but not without being tempted and buffeted and mocked and scourged. Oh, he was sitting where his people were, free from sin. But he wasn't free from the temptations that were assailing him of Satan. Wasn't free from his buffetings, from his mockings. Made like unto his brethren, but full of grace and truth. Oh, what a refuge. What a substitute. Oh, you and I, how different. Oh, we're the very opposite, aren't we? But here, this glorious God-man, full of grace and truth. And we have this statement of fact, and we have John's testimony, and we have the question then, why? Why? Why was the Word made flesh? Why did he dwell among us? What was the purpose? A wondrous event took place at Bethlehem all those many years ago. The angels appeared to the shepherds, heralding the birth of this baby, lying in a manger. Why? What was the purpose? Oh, that he might take away the sin of his people. Because in that fall into sin, the curse of death fell upon all of mankind. We were rendered dying creatures. And so full of sin, so overcome with sin, that we have, beloved friends, no way of acceptance in and of ourselves. We have no way of purging away our own sin. We have no way of making ourselves right before God. And how can we stand at that great day as we are by nature? How can we appear before the judgment seat of Christ? How can we stand before God at that great day and give an account of ourselves, the things that we've done in the flesh, both bad and good? And what will we say? What can we say except, like David, when convicted under the parable that Nathan told him, "I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord." That's all we can say by nature, isn't it? "I have sinned against the Lord." But in this great number of mankind that has lived upon this earth and will live upon this earth till the end of time, scattered throughout time is a people that are loved with an everlasting love that must be found in heaven. And this was the only way, the only acceptable sacrifice. Paul says that the blood of bulls and goats cannot purge away sin. It is a type. It is a shadow of things to come. It points to the Lord Jesus Christ. It points to his precious blood. But that blood of those bulls and those goats cannot take away sin. He was born, beloved friends, that he might die. He was born. He took a human nature, a holy human nature, into union with his divine, that he might lay that life down. That it might be laid down as an offering, a sin offering, as the lamb, innocent in human terms. It's innocent. It hasn't committed the sin that the sin bearer was transferring by faith on that lamb. Oh, the Lord Jesus, free from sin. The lamb was a shadowy type of Christ. The one who laid his hand on that head of the lamb or the ram, the sin offering, he must look beyond it. You and I must be... We must have faith to look back to the birth of Christ, to his life, to his death and resurrection and ascension. We need faith. We need faith. That gift of God, we need it. And they needed it. To lay their hand on that sacrifice and confessing their sin, it meant nothing except they looked to what it meant, what it represented. Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour of sinners. That's what it represented. And that's by faith what they must look to, the coming. Oh, that you and I might look back. My soul looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear. Beloved friends, he was born. He was born into this world. Took that life that he might lay it down. It was more than blood. If it was the offering of blood only, then he could have been put to death by Herod at Bethlehem. But there was a life to be lived, to grow into manhood, to live a life free from sin. That a robe of righteousness, a life suitable, acceptable to God, might be lived by one. Why by one? On behalf of many. Oh, what a wonder of wonders is this Christmas season. I do hope and pray you children, those of you here and those of you listening in, might know something of this simplicity of the things that we think of this season. The dear babe at Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Oh, that you might be brought to consider that lowly birth. You might consider that the life, trace out in the Word of God, in your own time, the things that he accomplished. And then go from his life to his death. You see, without Bethlehem, there can be no Calvary. And without Calvary, there can be no salvation. He was born, beloved friends, that he might die. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Yes, that he might heal the sick. Yes, that he might perform wondrous miracles. That he might display his majesty, his glory, his holiness, his perfections. But that ultimately, that he might lay that spotless life down on the altar, which is the cross at Calvary. That the holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, might offer up his life and give it on behalf of his people. He might lay it down for his friends, that his friends might be justified, might be glorified in him. And as he rose triumphantly from that grave, that victory, the accomplishment, the salvation of sinners, bringing in an everlasting salvation, making a way for them, despite how sinful and wicked they might be, yet loved of God. With an everlasting love, they might be forever with him in glory. He ascended at Bethany into heaven at last. There he sits and waits till his coming again in all his glory. Oh, that you and I might be brought to consider these things this Christmas time. Look beyond the presence, the giving and receiving we do at this time of year. Look beyond the coronavirus, which is hindering so many things, and go even unto Bethlehem. This wondrous thing, that the Word, God's only begotten Son, the one of whom the Father testified at the River Jordan, at the baptism of this glorious God-man, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, he's not well pleased with you or me, is he? Oh, at times we might do things that please him, but how often we displease him. But here is one to look to this evening. Here is one to apply ourselves at. To come to his throne of grace, to come to the throne of grace upon which he sits. The Word of God, made flesh, substitute for his people, full of grace and truth. All those things that you lack, all those things that you need, in him there is a fullness, an inexhaustible fullness. In him there is a meeting of every need, every shortcoming in your profession, every failing in your life. Oh, this dear, glorious God-man, the man Christ Jesus, in his life is a meeting and a fulfilling of every need of his people. The Word was made flesh, wonder of wonders. May we worship him. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach at our Christmas morning service at 9:30. Mr. Chapman will preach for us next Lord's Day at the usual times, morning and evening. And Mr. Parrish will preach for us again on Tuesday evening next week. Now you know that Mr. Parrish had a very difficult journey to get here. As we leave, may we be help to commit him into the hands of the Lord, that he may take him safely home. Our closing hymn is number 40. How blessed is the season at which we appear. Bow down sense and reason, faith only reign here. 'Tis heard by mere nature with coldness and scorn that God, our Creator, an infant was born. Hymn number 40.
Most merciful and gracious Lord, as we approach the day in which we particularly remember thy birth here upon earth, we do pray that we each may have the witness in our hearts of a personal interest in that birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. May we know, Lord, the fact, the reality of it, and also, most importantly, our personal interest in it. Do forgive all our many, many sins. Be with any, Lord, who have particular difficulties, distresses, particularly at this time. There are many things, Lord, to trouble us, but we do pray that we might be drawn to that precious Saviour of sinners. Lord, that thou drawest to thyself. We ask, forgive us our sins. Pardon anything which has been said amiss. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.